Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer. I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon. We pray that you are encouraged, you are challenged, and ultimately drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
You can see that I brought a little bit of my fishing equipment. How many fishermen do we have here this morning? Fisher people? Oh, a few. I guess we could still love the rest of you. That would be all right. I still think that in heaven, there's going to be a special place for fisher people. I really do. I think Jesus will be there. The apostles will probably be there. We'll be having fish fries, because I don't think heaven is just going to be like floating around on a cloud all day. We're going to have fun up there as well, okay? And one of my passions is fishing. I brought my fly rod along this morning. I thought maybe I've just started taking up fly fishing, and so my cast is not too predictable. I thought of maybe trying a few casts out into the congregation, but those of you wearing wigs or toupees would be at very high risk. So I canceled that plan, but I thought that it would be nice to just have a little bit of my equipment. It'll make me feel like spring is coming. Don't you just dig this weather out there? It's great. Soon the ice will be off, and you'll find me on my 14-foot aluminum boat out there fishing. Yeah, I am passionate about fishing. I'm going to just put that there so no one loses their eye. We are just finishing up this morning our Impact series, Live on Mission, Make a Difference. And this morning I want to take you on a fishing trip. Well, kind of. And we're going to look at the theme of fishing and being fishermen and fisher people for people that need our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, when I retired, my adult daughters and my wife got me this sign. I've been having it in my office for a while, and now we'll be moving it to my man cave at home. But it says, Larry's gone fishing. And the reason they gave that to me was they wanted to make sure that I knew that I had now moved on to a little bit more relaxed way of life. Pixie also got into the habit as well of making sure that I knew that I was going to be fishing more than I was going to be working. And so she did something. I don't know how many of you have seen the Charmin bathroom tissue ad where it says, everyone goes, enjoy the go, if you know what I mean. And so Pixie decided that she'd help me to enjoy the go. So this is my bathroom wall. And when I'm sitting there enjoying the go, this is a little bit of a museum tracing back from the far side all the way from the time when I was a little boy right up to some fairly recent fishing trips with my family. And so every time I have a chance to relax a little bit, floods of memories come sweeping into me, reminding me of how much fun it is to go fishing. You know, I think anyone that enjoys fishing is in good company, because it seems obvious to me in the Gospels that Jesus himself enjoyed fishing and enjoyed being around fishermen. We are told that 7 of the 12 were full-time fishermen, and the other 5 kind of dabbled in it and had other occupations as well, but most of them to some degree were involved in fishing. And so it kind of is interesting to see how Jesus uses skillful word pictures, or metaphors as we call them in grammar, to make the point that he wanted to make. And in Scripture, we have 2 grammatical imperatives where Jesus comes down hard on what he wants his people to do. If you call yourself a believer here this morning, I might be waking you up to an area in your life that you have been overlooking. I've been praying hard all week that some of us here and some of us around the world watching this would for the first time say, I want to be a fisher of people. I want to get on board where Jesus is going, and in my own unique way, whether it's here in where I work, whether it's in some kind of ministry that I'm involved in, the sky's the limit when it comes to getting on board where Jesus is going. But it also gives us an opportunity to remember this one thing. And if you go away with nothing else this morning, go away with this fact. If you are a believer, God expects you to obey and to be reproducing yourself in the life of one or more people. I love the first call, where Jesus was walking along the Lake of Galilee, and he came to two brothers. Their names were Simon Peter and Andrew. The Bible says that they were in a boat, and they were casting a net out into the water. Jesus, obviously being divine as well as human, knew in advance who he was going to pick out to be this group he called his apostles or disciples. But the first two that he called were simple, ordinary fishermen. I like that. It qualifies me, maybe. I don't know. But Jesus interrupts their work, and he comes along, and he says these words to them. We find this in Matthew 4, verses 18 to 20. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Now you may say, that's a pretty simple story. I heard that many times going to Sunday school. But really, it's nothing more than that. It's just a good fish story. But Jesus was talking about a radically different kind of fishing. He was talking about changing them spiritually as people so that they in turn could go out, introduce other people to Jesus, disciple them, baptize them, and send them in turn out to be reproducing people. Jesus took ordinary blue-collar people, the guys that took their lunchbox into their boat every day, and he said, I can use you. I not only love you, but I have a wonderful plan for you to be fishers of men, not just fishers in the ordinary sense of the word. He didn't call for highly polished, highly trained, PhD kind of people. He just wanted people who were obedient. He wanted people who would say, here's my life. Use it, God, for however you want to use it. I'm going to take my hat off because we're in a sanctuary, aren't we? Let's put it there. How's that? But then we come to the second call of Jesus, and that's where we want to go this morning. Jesus made it very clear, just after he had died, just after he had been resurrected, that soon he would be ascending up into heaven, and this group of ragtag fishermen, who were now pretty well discipled, to go out and carry on his ministry, that he would soon be leaving them. Some of them weren't too wild about that. I think they kind of had the idea, Jesus, why don't you cancel that ascension part and just hang around with us and help us to grow more? But Jesus had different plans, and so did his Father. He had trained them, but now it was their time to follow him in complete obedience and to go out and make disciples, to catch fish in a different sense of the word. The Bible makes it clear in some of the four Gospels that they were terrified. They quite frankly didn't like this. Yes, they knew that Jesus had foretold that one day this would all happen, but now it had arrived and they weren't too wild about that. In some Gospels it says that some of the disciples even doubted. This isn't really going to happen, is it, Jesus? But then Jesus says to them, yes, it is. And the passage of Scripture that we're going to look at this morning, in the world of theology and in the world of missiology, that is, people going out into a lost world, is called the Great Commission. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. When I use that phrase, the Great Commission, how many of you know in some sort of way what that is? Could you quote it? Just put your hand up. Okay, a few of you there. Okay, yeah, I was quite surprised this week in doing some research because I kind of wanted to know how many people in the year 2021 really understand that the Great Commission actually applies to them. if you are a believer, if you're not following the Great Commission to some degree or other, you're really living in disobedience to God. Excuse me for being so preachy. George Barna is a researcher. He works down in the States, and he is a very skillful, gifted kind of guy who does research on what's happening in the Canadian and North American church, primarily the American church. And so recently, in year 2018, he did a study on how many people really understood, first of all, what the Great Commission is, and then secondly, how it applies to them where they live in this modern world. I was quite shocked, and I'm going to put a graph up on the screen here. There it is. This is the results that he came back with. He polled 1,004 church-going Americans, asking them this question: have you heard of the Great Commission? So these aren't people that are non-church. These are people like you and me that go to church every day. 6% weren't sure they knew what it was. 51% had no idea whatsoever what it was. 25% said yes, but I can't recall the exact meaning or really where it's found in Scripture. Only 17% said yes, I know what it means and where to find it in Scripture. When I read that research, I thought, yeah, this is a good subject. When Mike had said, Larry, because you're a former international worker, we're giving you the part about the Great Commission. And I said, yes, I'm going to get my last chance here in the message series to tell people that they have a responsibility to reach out and be part of the Great Commission. Why do you think maybe people don't know too much about the Great Commission? Well, I have my ideas, and I think that they could be one of three different reasons. First of all, we are told that the average person in North America only reads their Bible for 5 minutes a week. Now, that's not everyone. That's the average. Secondly, I guess that makes them kind of biblical illiterate, doesn't it? Secondly, the Bible has grown irrelevant in a lot of churches. I talked recently with a pastor, and he said, you know, Larry, all this stuff where Jesus said do this and this, that really doesn't apply to us anymore. And I said, well, what do you do with Scripture then? This is more of a liberal church. And he said, oh, if it doesn't apply to us today, we just cut it out of our Bible. Literally, that's what he said to me. I said, you got to be kidding me. He said, yeah, we just take that which kind of fits the way we're living. Thirdly, a lot of people say, this isn't really my responsibility. That's for somebody else, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But this is what the Great Commission is. Follow with me on the screen. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20 says this. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples just before he left them for the final time. But this is Jesus speaking to you and to me in the day in which we live. This is it. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, some people have issues, even Christians have some issues with the Great Commission. Some people try to explain it away so that maybe it's not as important for them to follow strenuously what Jesus asked them to do. Some feel that it was only for the age of the disciples. It was back in that era or dispensation when Jesus was just uniquely talking to his disciples, but it really doesn't apply to us in the year 2021. Others feel that that salvation ends when we accept Jesus into our life. In other words, when we invite Jesus into our life, that is it. We kind of sit on our cloud waiting for Jesus to come back to take us to heaven. I'm speaking a little bit satirically there. But that's how some people say, oh, this doesn't really apply to me. As long as I go to church and I'm a good person, that's where it ends. I'm saved, I have a fire escape, and now I'm ready to go. But if we read in the context of what Jesus was talking to there and throughout all of Scripture, he calls all of us to look seriously at the Great Commission and do our part in following it. There are others who say, well, the Great Commission is good and it's relevant for this day and age, but it's for trained professionals. It's for people like Larry and Pixie who went to Africa. It's for people who are overseas or in some distant, hard place serving the Lord and sharing the gospel with people who have never heard of it before. It's for professionals. But, oh, I could never do that. When we were working in Africa, I often had people come after the services and say to me, oh, Larry, I don't like snakes and I don't like scorpions, so that rules out the Great Commission for me. And I'm going, well, you might have to deal with the snakes and the scorpions because it's in the book. It's what Jesus wants us to do. But the third and most dangerous thing that I see happening in the world that we live in is that the Great Commission goes counterculture to the world that we live in. Let me explain what I mean by that. There are people who I think erroneously say, well, there are many paths which lead to God. How many have heard that statement before? Probably all of you. I have well-meaning, good people who say that to me all the time. Oh, Pastor, isn't it good that we all are on our own path to God? And I stop them and as kindly as I can say, well, dear friend, that may be what you think, but it kind of goes against the grain of what the book where I get all of my teaching and all of my commands from, the Bible, says this, John 14:6. He says, I am the way, Jesus talking, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Kind of a pretty narrow mandate, wouldn't you say? But there are people in our world that say, no, that's being a little bit too strong. And we maybe need to be a little bit more sensitive to other people's religions. Well, as I tell them, there is truth, spiritual truth, in every religion. But every religion, apart from Christianity, that is following Jesus like he told us to do, in some area falls short. And if you want to debate that with me, set aside an hour and come and talk to me. But Jesus says, no, I don't care what culture says. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Everyone goes through me. When I was studying anthropology at the University of Regina years ago, my professor called me up after class one day and he said, what are you doing here? You're a lot older than most of these just graduated from high school kids. And I said, well, I'm getting ready to go on to seminary and I need some liberal arts. He said, what are you going to do after that? I said, I'm going to go to Africa and help people know Jesus. And he stopped and he said to me, oh, you're one of those. And I said, excuse me? He said, I have problems with people like you. Why are you going to some part of the world and wrecking people's religion? I said, well, sir, with all due respect, I'm not trying to wreck it. I'm just trying to help them realize that there's only really one person who can change their life and bring them true peace and happiness. So, if we call ourselves Christians or Christ followers, what are the implications for you and me and the Great Commission? Let me give them to you. First of all, salvation through Jesus implies an act of obedience. Let me say that again. Salvation through Jesus implies an act of obedience. That is to say, Jesus says, when you become part of the family of God, I also give you a mandate or a responsibility that you need to carry out in your own way, with your own skill set, the way you function. You need to be intentional about being obedient to me. The second implication is this. Jesus calls, and let me underline this, all believers. It's not for those professional few. It's not for the YWAMers or the CMA missionaries or the Baptist mission or whatever. Although that is one way of performing and carrying out the Great Commission. But Jesus wants us, whether we're working in an office, whether we have a trade, whether we're a stay-at-home mom, he wants us to go to him and say, here's my life, God. How can I take the love of Jesus to the world that I live in? But it applies to all of us. But let me give you some good news this morning. He doesn't just say, figure it out and go do it. He gives us a mandate with some very careful things that he wants us to do. That is to say, he tells us how to do it. To me, that encourages me. I'm not left out in the dark. Jesus has said, I've got a plan for you, but here's the blueprint or the map or whatever I want you to do. It'll be a little different for all of you, but generally, these are the things I want you to do. I like to think that we all have the gift of the Holy Spirit living within us. Amen? And if we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, that should comfort us greatly and take away all fear. You know, you don't have to be a person who's a missionary or an international worker. You don't have to be like a Jason Dimnick or a Randall or a Larry Charter who is trained for many years in theology and how to do this at maybe a higher level. Jesus looks down at you and says, you're important in building my kingdom. And I am here this morning to break some very important news to you. Here it comes. God needs you and wants you to do your part in carrying out the Great Commission. Secondly, he plants us where we are and wants us to build his kingdom right there. We're going to talk about that and break that down in just a minute. And thirdly, and I love this, he uses pretty ordinary people in ordinary ways to build his kingdom. There isn't any of us listening today, wherever we are, who can say, oh, that's not for me, Larry. You don't know me. I'm pretty ordinary. I'm pretty simple. I'm not very smart. Well, let me show you how God does that. I want to break it down and make it really practical, okay? I'm going to go through these rapid fire. Let me give you some practical ways for you to think about as you leave today about how you might be involved in going fishing for people. This is it. First of all, go where the fish are. And I put quotation marks around that word fish. That is to say, some people say to me, and quite sincerely, Larry, I don't think that's my thing. As long as I drop my offering in the offering envelope every week and put that in the offering, as long as I'm involved in some kind of participation at the church and I'm at church as much as I can, well, that's where it ends for me. But you know what? I am here to tell you that in the town of Cochrane, in this city, in the nation of Canada, and around the world, there are billions of people who still need our Savior. And in the mystery of God's providential plan, he chose to use us. He chose to use a guy who had trouble getting through grade 8 to go to Africa. Why? Because he uses ordinary people. But he says, don't hide out. Go out and look for those fish. Secondly, he says it doesn't have to be complicated. Like the Berean church in the New Testament, of whom it was said, they went around gossiping the love of Jesus. I love that. Everywhere they went, people would say in the community, oh, there goes those Bereans. They can only talk about Jesus. And it irritated some people, but the Berean church grew by leaps and bounds because people gossiped the love of Jesus. Thirdly, the Great Commission implies that we need to reproduce ourselves. I'm going to say something that's kind of strong here. I kind of pointed to it earlier, but I'm going to underline it again. We can't keep our faith to ourselves. Like Billy Graham used to say at the end of all of his campaigns that he did, don't keep the faith, give it away. I like that. Don't keep the faith. We quite often hear this that phrase, well, I'm going to keep the faith. No, that's quite in error, actually, because Jesus says, no, don't keep the faith. You have a responsibility to give it away. You need to reproduce yourself. Let me ask you this question, and only you can answer this. Do you have at least one person in your life in which you are working with on a regular basis where you're reproducing what God has already given to you? If you're not, you need to go from here this morning saying, God, I need to go where the fish are. I need to find someone and use just my ordinary life to point them to Jesus. Maybe you need to volunteer for a society or for a support group where there are hurting people and just come alongside them and love them. Every Tuesday night, I have a group of people who have recently lost people. We call it Grief Share. And within the last year, these people have all lost someone to some kind of death. And this is our seventh time that we've done it. And two sessions ago, we had five people in there, all of them coming, having lost people to suicide, right here in Cochrane and Calgary area. One of the people in that group saw the suicide take place in front of their eyes. You don't think there's tears in there and broken people every Tuesday night? Come and see. I'll show you. And the reason I say that is I'm getting older, and someday I need to pass that on. Jason told me before he left, Larry, you need to get someone trained because you're not going to be around forever to do Grief Share. And so I'm saying this morning, if you're interested in dealing with deeply grieving people, come and let's have an interview. See if you qualify. And I think you will. Talk to God about it. But find some place where you can get involved in finding fish and reaching them. And then he says to us, encourage all the people you lead to Jesus to get baptized as an act of obedience and commitment. That's what I like about Cochrane Alliance Church. Every baptism service, there's a lot of yelling and screaming here, and that's just great. Why do we emphasize for those who come to follow Jesus that their next act, and as soon as possible, would be that they get baptized? Well, I believe that being baptized plants a flag where the new believer says to all of his friends or her friends, to all of the community, and certainly to all of the church, I have decided to follow Jesus, and by being dunked under this water or being sprinkled with water, however you do it, when we worked in the desert, we used sand because there was no water around. But it says to the world, I am going to follow Jesus. And then finally he says, teach them how to follow Jesus in their everyday lives. And I love that last phrase. Jesus says, remember, you are not alone. I am with you for as long as this world lasts, to the very end of the age. So, how does the Great Commission apply to us today? With this, we'll close. First of all, I think you need to count yourself in being involved. Maybe it'll be the first time you've done this where you said, yeah, I really need to be intentional. I need to be greatly intentional about saying to God, I am your child, but I can't remain static. I need to move on, and I need to somehow start reproducing myself. Don't overcomplicate it. By that I mean, you don't have to be a spiritual giant or even to have followed Jesus for a long time. You see, Jesus takes our obedience and he turns it into power by his Spirit. Let me say that again. He takes our obedience and turns it into power by his Spirit that lives within us. I want to quickly conclude this morning by telling you quickly two short stories of people who have found their way to follow the Great Commitment. A few years ago, many of you know this, some of you don't maybe, I'm a chaplain here at Bethany Care as well as Points West and sometimes even over at Big Hill Lodge. I go in once a month and we do chapel services for the people there who can't get out to church. When COVID came, we've now turned that into a TV program. If you go into our website and find the icon that says Seniors Chapel, you'll find at least five chapel services. I come in here every Thursday morning, and we record a chapel service right in this sanctuary. And then people in all of those different care facilities, and now we're finding out, some of them have picked it up in Ontario and around the world even, seniors are being ministered to. Now, all you millennials, you'll be bored out of your ever-loving tree. This is not for you, okay? It's hymns, all hymns. And it's piano that doesn't just rock you to the bottom of your soul, okay? But that's what our seniors like. So if you're okay, I'm okay with doing chapel time. But I used to pray, God, I need a pianist who every time I go to Big Hill Lodge, I know that someone is there. Otherwise, I'm doing a cappella, and it's pretty painful to listen to it. One morning, I arrived at Bethany Care, and here was a man by the name of Elmer Jesperson. He said to me, "Do you mind if I play the piano for you today?" I said, "Who are you?" He put his hand out and said, "I'm Elmer Jesperson. I just moved from Edmonton. My wife just died of cancer several months ago, and I've moved to Cochrane, and I've been asking God, listen to this, I've been asking God to show me what kind of ministry I might have to touch the community of Cochrane, particularly seniors." I just about fell through the ground. I said, "Lord, I've been praying for this for 8 years, and here he is." From that day on, Elmer and I have been sort of a team. He plays the piano for all my funerals. He's with me at all the services over there, and he's on the grand piano here every Thursday morning playing the hymns for me, the old-fashioned hymns. But he has another ministry that I think is so cool. He's taken it one step further. I don't know how many of you have been down in front of the hotel. There's an old beat-up upright piano there, right? The hotel put it out there several years ago, and they said anyone that wants to play this can do it. And so it was a little bit frustrating because they didn't know who would show up, but usually it was kids practicing their chopsticks or just pounding on the piano. And Elmer, being a purist of sorts, went by one day and he thought, "Oh man, it would sure be wonderful if I could just play hymns out here and maybe use it as my ministry to reach out to people." So he went into the hotel and said, "Would I be able to play your piano on a regular basis?" First question they asked was, "How much do you expect us to pay you?" He said, "Nothing." And so for the last 3 years, Elmer can be seen. In fact, if you're probably down there this afternoon, he loves to do it 7 days a week. He just sits there playing hymns, and soon a crowd gathers. There he is. I purposely took that one with the saloon in the background, because Elmer would be the last one in the world that would ever don a saloon. But Elmer loves the Lord, and he uses his wonderful skill of playing the piano. He told me last week he was playing, and a lady, he was playing "It Is Well With My Soul." And a lady came up, tapped him on the shoulder, tears running down her cheeks. She said, "Oh, I used to hear that song when I was a girl, and you don't know what I'm going through right now. Thank you for reaching out to me through music." Elmer, are you here this morning? If you are, there he is right there. Oh, good. That's Elmer. It's Elmer, stand. Elmer's the humblest guy in the world. He's going to kill me afterwards for doing that. But to me, that's a perfect example of what I'm talking about this morning. Reach out in the way that you are comfortable with. Find a group. Maybe you can find someone who likes to ride a bike. Maybe you can find someone who's a motorcycler and like you are. Maybe you can find someone who likes to fly fish. I don't know what it is. Maybe you'll just have to find a group where you work, and people are going to watch you and say, "That guy's kind of different," in the right sense of the word. And then you'll have the opportunity to kind of help people who are walking through real bad marriages or financial loss or COVID and point them to Jesus. The other story I want to tell you quickly is about someone who's very special to me. I don't know how many of you remember just before COVID arrived, my sister Mim, who served as a missionary in Romania for many, many years, came and spoke at our church, and I've talked to many, many people who have been deeply touched by the message she left that morning. She was kind of pounding home what I'm pounding home this morning as well. But Miriam spent most of the 1980s in behind the Iron Curtain in Romania during the time that a very tyrannical dictator, Ceausescu, had a firm grip on the country. And on top of that, he really persecuted the Christian church. Miriam had a call to go in there and to help find people who needed to be trained in the church setting as to how to reproduce themselves and to minister in a very harsh, harsh environment. But incredibly, years later, when the Berlin Wall came down and the Cold War was over, Ceausescu was removed from the scene and freedom started to reign. And to this day, that country is wide open. And so a year and a half ago, Mim went back to write a book. She was commissioned by Foothills Alliance Church to go and write a book for the next generation of young people, primarily at Foothills, but for all of Canada and around the world. This book traced her first part behind the Iron Curtain when things were really, really, really dangerous, and Mim had to go in undercover to go to these clinics where she taught discipling courses. She taught courses to women, and she also preached in underground churches. She used to get on trains, and the guards would look at her suspiciously. But a few years ago, she went back to write the second chapter of how God has used her ministry there to bring about life and vibrancy in the Romanian church. Foothills Alliance said to her, "Ma'am, we want you to write a book, and we'll pay for the costs of making that happen." Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that her book, Regeneration, has just been published. And I talked with her this week, and we looked into the possibility of having her actually be here to sign books, because many of you have said to me, "When's the book coming out?" Well, here it is, Regeneration. And what it does is it talks about how God is working and how God has taken someone like Mim and made a tremendous impact in the world that she lives in. If you would like to get a copy of this, Mim will be dropping off about 40 copies at the church office this week. Because of COVID, we're not allowed to sell at the kiosk, and so we're trying to respect that. But if you would like to get a copy, Mim, because she has a special affinity with Cochrane Alliance Church, is giving it to you at a $5 reduction. Regularly, it's $25. If you're any way related to Cochrane Alliance, all you need to do is sign the list on the kiosk. Please have respect for social distancing. Or you can phone the church, talk to Nikki, and she'll have copies there. The only thing we're going to ask, and makes it a little bit more difficult, is that you need to drop by the office to pick it up and to pay for it. I've just got into the book myself. It reads like a spy thriller. And so if you want a book that shows the power of God, of someone turning their life over to Him, that's a book you may want to read. Yes, God, by the way, let me just interrupt that. You can also get it online by just going to regenerationbook, all lowercase, .ca. And it'll bring up the website, her website, and it'll explain all of the things and the mission of this book and how it came about. Very interesting read. Then you can also buy it there at the website. So my question for you this morning is this. Three words, four words. So, are you in? How are you going to pick up the mandate that Jesus calls all believers to in going into all the world? That includes Cochrane, that includes Alberta, that includes Canada, that includes the globe. But wherever we are planted, we are called to go fish for men. I prayed all week that maybe there would be some young person or some older person that would say, "Larry, for the first time, I've heard of my need to respond and to be involved in the Great Commission." I'm going to hang around for a little while afterwards. If you want to talk to me, or if you're watching online and you want to phone me sometime this week or write me an email, let me know that you've made a step that way. Tell me some of the details, that'll thrill my heart. But I am praying that you'll be all in. Will you pray with me? Loving Heavenly Father, what a wonderful, amazing thing it is that you, as a God who made this great universe that we live in, you as a God who controls all of the activities in this world, you also reach down and say, I want to take someone simple like Larry. I want to take someone simple like Karen. I want to take someone simple like George. And I want to use them for my glory, to build my kingdom, and to carry out the Great Commission. Oh God, may we all be on board. May we be on mission. May we be making an impact and making a difference. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.